Hey, this is Megan and Stacey with another What We're Cooking and Eating Now.
In this series, we share three meals each that we've cooked for our own families. We share the recipe links in our free community so that you can turn our six ideas into a meal plan for next week. Or you can find other meal ideas in our weekly meal planning thread on our listeners' boards.
You can find out more about joining the listeners' boards and getting access to these recipes, as well as the Didn't I Just Feed You recipe archive, by visiting didntijustfeedyou.com/community.
All right, Megan. Did you have a good cooking? Let's just take a step back. I never just ask. Do you have a good cooking week or like a harder cooking week?
I don't know. This is very weird. I have felt like it's been very mediocre cooking.
I know that feeling.
The last week, which I don't like because I feel like I've been on this like trend of greatness.
From so the beginning. Big. I love it. Okay. Wow.
From the beginning of
great.
The year.
Okay.
Into March and then April, I have a little loss of mojo.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's because March was so busy. Like, my husband was gone for so much of March, and he's been gone quite a bit in April. Soccer has started up. I am struggling with my oldest, who is 12, being very selective right now. I feel like there's nothing that I can cook that will satisfy her besides, like, driving through Wendy's.
Yeah.
Which you encouraged. There was one day where she was like off of school randomly. Maybe they just had a day off. And so you and I were like voice memoing about work. And I was like, ugh, Ella wants Wendy's. And you were like, just get that girl some Wendy's. So we went. And then I also had to cook dinner for my son, who does not like Wendy's. Like, he's kind of not that into fast food in general, but like Wendy's he hates. And so I ended up making him ramen with steamed broccoli and from frozen salmon. Like, I literally stuck a piece of salmon on a sheet tray, threw it in the oven, and roasted it. And he was like, this is the best meal ever. But it was such a contrast of like her Wendy's cheeseburger, frosty, and fries, and his ramen, steamed broccoli, and salmon.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. And those seasons where a loss of mojo and the picky eating overlap, and sometimes they overlap because they're related, like one sort of triggers the other. Usually the picky eating can trigger a loss of mojo because it just becomes really disheartening.
Yes.
Is that the right word? To have to cook for someone who's like,
And the aspect where I'm trying to check all these boxes with dinner, right? Like, it needs to fall under a certain time. It needs to have certain ingredient costs. It's kind of scheduled to what we have going on that night. Rarely am I picking something that I'm like, oh, this sounds so delicious. I'm trying to make sure it satisfies the other three eaters most of the time, which is not to say I don't pick some things. But yeah, it can really be a zap to the mojo. So maybe next time we connect for What We're Cooking and Eating Now, my homework is to cook something that I'm really excited about.
Yes, I love it.
So that I can be more inspiring. How is cooking in general feeling for you? You're like settled in your new kitchen.
Yeah, it's also been busy. I feel like I'm in a groove. It's been busy, but I've been cooking, you know, after months, literally months of feeling like first I was barely cooking. Then when I cooked, it was like semi-homemade meals because I didn't have a full kitchen. Then I was moved in and still organizing. So when I cooked, I was happy with what I cooked, but it was still, you know, only like three or four times a week because like I wasn't in a groove and I wasn't feeling organized. And also related to Ella, because this is where I am with Isaac as well. Like, when they are eating a lot of takeout and fast food, I don't want to be alarmist and weird, but I found it even for myself. It really does impact their, like, there's an immediate shift in their relationship with food. You know how sometimes when you just start eating more and more sugar and then you start craving more and more sugar?
Yes.
And if you start cutting back on the sugar, it feels hard at first, but then you just get used to it and you're like, okay.
It's almost your taste changing.
Yeah. And like you, that craveability, which is lab created, scientist driven, really freaking works. It's why all those foods are so highly satisfying. So, you know, even though I was willing to cook, they were still craving takeout more and more. So it's been this slow easing back, very slow easing back into, no, we, like, I cook 5 to 6 days a week minimum. So it feels exciting and I feel proud, but I'm also like a little out of shape. So I've done 2 or 3 weeks in a row now of really cooking most of our dinners. And I keep being nervous about fatigue setting in because I'm like, oh yeah, this shit's a lot.
It is.
Because I gave myself a permission slip to be loose about it for so long because of the circumstances. It's a lot. And I will tell you that with Isaac, you know, he eats so much fast food. There really is a shift. I'll make something that he really likes. I made something that he really liked the other night. And then he was like, I'm full. And he left his dinner plate and he went away and came back. And instead of finishing the dinner that he was really into, he was like, can I make ramen? And it really is just like a craving thing. I think when he doesn't get that hit of that like high sodium, high flavor impact, he's craving it. And the home cooked meal just doesn't hit the same, even when he really likes it. I don't know.
It's very challenging is what it is.
Do you find the same with Ella too?
You know, Ella's so much younger. So her access to fast food is really through us. And we have been on a run probably for a year where we're able to do fast food once a week. And that minimizes her asking repeatedly, like, oh, can we have Wendy's? Can we have Zaxby's tonight? And when Brian is home, we might do it more because I'll be like, oh, great. I could have a break from cooking all the meals because really I cook them breakfast before they leave for school.
Yeah.
I pack them lunches. I make snacks after school and I make dinner. So if Brian's gone, I'm doing all of those without any support and all the cleanup. Right. So there's that where she can't necessarily choose to get fast food on the way home from school yet because at lunchtime because of where we live, because of her age, et cetera. Though we do still have those highly craveable snack foods in the house. And I don't know that she would be motivated to cook anything, even if there was like ramen or mac and cheese cups. She often defaults to just what's easy, like chips or a cheese stick instead of like making a second meal if she doesn't like dinner. I think without oversharing that there's also some like developmental stuff as a girl and figuring out like how she feels about her body and how her body feels eating certain foods.
Yeah.
So sometimes at dinner, she'll only eat the veg and then fill it in with the other things because we've talked about the importance of like adding vegetables for just overall how her body feels and for things like skin care, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm not trying to solution it though either. I'm just like in this season where we cook at home because that's what works for us financially and logistically. And if she doesn't eat, she can make herself a little snack without restriction. I had an interesting conversation with other friends this week, though, about how they handle it. And many of them are like, nope, no meal after dinner if they didn't eat. But their kids are younger.
Oh, yeah. No, Isaac can eat whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And we don't order. Like, I'll say no to ordering at home, but he goes out for lunch. And it just, it's the impact on my mojo. Because to have him be excited about a meal or be like, this is really good, and then not finish it and want ramen, you're like, well, like, did you like it? Or I don't know. And I've been developing more recipes than usual, like officially.
I was going to mention that we've been working on an ebook. I had a freelance assignment that required me to do a lot of baking. And so there's that fatigue too.
Yeah. So it's just interesting. So I feel okay, but I feel very aware of, like, is fatigue going to set in? But like, why? I guess that's just anxiety when you're worried about something that hasn't happened yet. But it feels like I'm still flexing a new muscle and it feels like my kids are appreciating it, but like not fully, Thankfully.
And maybe but, they never will.
And maybe they never will. But I am feeling good about the things that I'm cooking.
Okay.
So should I go for it?
Sure.
Or do you want to start?
I don't have a strong opinion.
Okay. We had another family over over the weekend, and I made a really big sheet pan chicken parmesan, and it was delish. I did it properly, so it took a little time. It was a weekend, so I butterflied the chicken breast to make chicken cutlets, and I actually pounded them, which is something I really rarely do, breaded them, and fried them all in the morning. And then I just let the fried cutlets sit in the fridge all afternoon. And then when people came over, oh, I also roasted a couple heads of garlic too while I was cooking the chicken. And then when people came over, like they came over a little early, so I had time to cook. And also we all have older kids, so we can eat late. Just some Rao's and a combo of like Polio pre-shredded mozz and some fresh mozz that I cut into slices, put it all on a sheet pan, made some garlic bread with the roasted garlic, and cooked some pasta on the side, again, just to like Rao's. And everybody was very happy. Big salad too.
I see on your notes, there was there a Caesar involved?
Oh yeah, so a big salad.
We have to talk about that because it's the year of Caesar.
Yeah, but I was still, we said that we were testing bottled Caesar dressings. So I used a bottled dressing also to make it easier because I'd cooked all this other stuff. And I took out the Olive Garden Italian dressing, which everybody knows if you've been listening. I was influenced by Kelsey Nixon to buy and really, really like it. And I also pulled out Ken's Caesar. Is it called Steakhouse Caesar?
How did you feel about it?
Let me pull up so we know exactly. No, it's just Caesar salad dressing. And, oh, Ken's Steakhouse is the official name of the brand.
Okay.
You know, I liked it. I prefer the Olive Garden. It's a different experience. The Olive Garden is just like a creamy Italian dressing. But I don't really love bottled dressings. This creamy Italian dressing just hits the spot for me. It's like part nostalgia. It tastes like creamy Italian of my childhood. I just really like it, even though it tastes very much like a bottled dressing. It's really hard for me to taste test bottled Caesars and not think about a Caesar that I could make.
Right.
But everybody liked it. Some of the grownups liked the Ken Caesar more than the Olive Garden Italian. And it got high marks. Have you tried Ken Caesar?
I haven't. I remember it. I have a bottle of Newman's in my fridge that I don't love that I'm trying to work with my way through. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Ken's got high marks on the Caesar dressing. And I just literally got pre-washed romaine. I chopped it. I have cherry tomatoes and I tossed it with the bottle dressing.
Yum.
So that was a really great meal. I would say it's not a practical weeknight meal. We've mentioned doing sheet pan chicken parm where you just season the chicken breast pretty heavily, like garlic powder, oregano, salt, pepper, and forget about the breading. That can make it weeknight.
Using frozen chicken patties can make it weeknight.
Could make it weeknight. But it did remind me, it's been a little while since I did proper Italian style chicken cutlets. And even when they were just sitting in a big pile cooked, the kids came through and took bites. It's really good and it's worth it when you have the time.
Yes. There's also like a crispy chicken thing happening across my social media. Like I feel like everyone is doing crispy chicken cutlets again.
So good.
As a meal. So good. Okay. What else have you been cooking that you've been excited
about? So another thing, and I'm sorry that we're teasing our ebook, which we think we will be out, but it may not quite be out by the time this publishes. It will be out soon afterwards. Sorry, I know that's the second time I'm saying that, but you know, real life. Everybody knows Marry Me Chicken by now if you live on social. If you don't know what Marry Me Chicken is, there's an original recipe that a woman shared. I believe that she was an editor at Delish originally. Anyway, it went viral. She talks about this. It kind of reminds me of like a Tuscan style dish. cream, sun-dried tomatoes, garlic, that kind of thing, like a saucy chicken breast dish that was so good, it earned her a proposal. And then it went viral, and everybody and their mother has published, not just shared on social media, but it was amazing to me when I did a search for Marry Me Chicken, how many bloggers and big sites published their own recipe without
credit,
talking about the original recipe.
Looping it back, yeah.
It's wild.
It's a thing that happens. It's very real. I know.
It's very frustrating because even when it goes really viral, sometimes it's true that it can get so big that it's hard to trace back. But to not acknowledge it, I find really frustrating. And also, one of the top search results is the New York Times version. And in the head notes, it links to the woman who originated the recipe. Like, it was not hard to find her and to contribute to her. Anyway, we decided to develop a recipe for Marry Me beans, and I used canned butter beans, which, guys, butter beans are lima beans. I know lima beans have a bad reputation, but they're the same, and they're delicious, and they're big, and they're hearty, and they feel filling, and they came out so good. I can't wait to share this recipe. I even texted you that night. I was like, Marry Me beans slap, which is embarrassing, I know. But it's true. So Marry Me beans. And then I served that with nothing. It doesn't need rice or anything, in my opinion. My kids were very filled up with the Marry Me beans, some crusty bread. And then I did what I call the Ottolenghi spinach salad. It's from one of his books. I don't remember which book. The New York Times has a version. I'll put that link in the What We're Cooking and Eating Now. But it's basically a spinach salad with dates, za'atar flavored almonds, but I used pita chips instead, and some red onions that you just let sit in vinegar or lemon juice for a little while you're assembling the salad. So they're not quite pickled, but they're delicious. And my kids love this salad. So it was a spinach salad with dates and pita chips and onion and the Marry Me beans. And it was
sounds
great.
So good. I am excited for those Marry Me beans.
Oh, they're so good. And then I was inspired on TikTok. I'm going to share the TikTok. Haley Catalano. I was not familiar with her before it crossed my For You page. She shares the recipe for this dish that I'm about to share with you in the notes of her TikTok. Pasta with mortadella, peas, and mascarpone. Oh, and pistachio too. So
wait, did you send this to me? I think I have this saved somewhere to me.
I was like,
this looks so good.
Good. My kids loved it. So if you're not familiar, mortadella is kind of an Italian bologna and often has pistachio in it. And she cubed it, but I couldn't find it thick cut. So I just got it thin cut and it still worked. It just like became crispy little wisps of mortadella with peas. And then you, in a separate pan, it's a one-pot pasta, but in a separate pan, you toast chopped pistachios with garlic, and you use that to top the pasta. And I was like, oh, this is a flavor bomb that can be used in a lot of different places. Instead of toasted breadcrumbs, just like toasty garlic and pistachios. And then you could do other nuts, like almonds, walnuts. So good. It was otherwise one pot, but you have this small frying pan that you're going to toast the garlic and nuts in. And it was great. I forgot to buy mascarpone, and I ended up using fresh ricotta instead.
We love when you can make a substitution. Also, because I feel like I buy ricotta for things, and then I can't quite use it up.
Yeah.
So another great use for that. Now I'm dying to know, was one of these three meals the thing that Isaac loved, didn't finish, and then made himself ramen afterwards?
No, it was actually our French onion chicken and gnocchi.
He wanted that savory.
Which I tested again. Yeah. And like he really liked it. But I don't, you know, he ate all the chicken. He said it was very, and he's right. He is, from his years of being dairy free, he loves dairy. He eats cheese. He eats ice cream. He does not drink milk. And like he doesn't like rice pudding. There's like a couple of things. He will eat cheesecake, which is a little tangier. But when something tastes too milky, oh, he doesn't like mashed potatoes. So he did say that he felt like the French onion chicken was very buttery and heavy. And it there's no taste of, it tasted just like French onion soup to me and Mike. There's no dairy taste to it. But to someone whose palate is more sensitive, I wonder if a dish with a whole bunch of butter and then cream, finished with cream, just had, like, was too much.
I just find this hilarious because I think of ramen as being kind of heavy, especially if it's like beef ramen with all the salt in it. So it's just,
yeah, he just wanted the noodles and soup. Yeah, I think it was like the butter. He specifically called out the butter. He's like, it's just buttery and creamy and heavy.
Okay.
There you go.
There you go. Stacey, I don't know about you, but I've been in a major spring cleaning mode, including purging and organizing my closet. I'm putting away winter sweaters and donating things that don't work for me anymore. But I'm so excited to be pulling out some of my favorite items from Quince to put back into rotation.
Totally. I love the pieces that I bought from Quince last year, too. And neither of us should really be surprised. We love Quince for their quality. And by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
Which means I can actually add some pieces back to my closet after my spring clear out. I love the linen pants and top I got last season so much, but my next purchase is one of Quince's gorgeous 100% washable silk skirts.
Oh, that's so pretty. And the best part? All Quince items, from silk to 14 karat gold, are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's why I snagged my favorite oversized cashmere boyfriend cardigan from Quince instead of any other brand.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/DIJFY for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You, to get free shipping and 365-day returns. This episode of Didn't I Just Feed You is sponsored by By Heart. Longtime listeners know that Stacey and I both struggled with infant feeding stages with all our kids. Breastfeeding was hard, and choosing a formula was, well, also hard. We're thrilled to be working with By Heart, an infant nutrition company on a mission to make the best formula in the world. Not only is By Heart an easy-to-digest formula, their formula is also clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus leading infant formula. By Heart has their own patented protein blend that includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, just like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. Curious about By Heart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code DIJFY for a limited time. That's byheart.com/podcast and code DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You? Additional terms and conditions apply. We know you're seeing all the Mother's Day gift guides everywhere. And while we usually do some Didn't I Just Feed You version, this year we have the one perfect Mother's Day gift that works for everyone, even our last minute shoppers, MyLifeInABook.com.
MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns the life stories of people you love into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your gift recipient a question via email. These can be pre-written questions that they provide, or you can customize the questions the way that I did for my mom. Your recipient can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book.
I'm really excited to be creating a book with my own mom this year, and I can't wait to hear some of her childhood memories, what it was really like raising three kids as a single mother, and how she's enjoyed becoming a grandmother, too.
And when the book is done, you'll have a beautiful keepsake for her and for you, too. You can even choose to have an audiobook created from the recordings. It's easy to sign up, and the process is automated, so you don't have to worry about missing a week.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code DIJFY at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code DIJFY for 10% off today.
Once upon a time, the Greek myths helped us understand the world and our place within it.
they still do.
Zeus, we have finished your weapons.
Thunderbolts, just as I saw in my vision.
Whoa, that almost hit me.
Need to improve my aim.
To not hit me, right?
Live from Mount Olympus spins these ancient tales for today's tweens and their grown-ups.
I, Zeus, king of the gods, command that you listen to Live from Mount Olympus wherever you get your podcasts.
What did you cook this week?
Okay. This will circle back, I feel like, a little bit to me trying to get Ella with certain flavors. I think in the most recent What We're Cooking and Eating Now, I mentioned doing our cheeseburger salad again. And this week I made cheeseburger fried rice, a Joy the Baker recipe. I think it's a Guy Fieri recipe that Joy has adapted. And like, this was just, it was really good. One, I used half of the mustard called for because it is a very mustard heavy recipe, which Ella does like mustard, but I was worried about the rest of us. But then if you are a longtime listener, you know that Ella is not really a huge fan of rice. So I was like, why did I choose cheeseburger and rice? Like, that was the wrong pairing. I got further ahead with cheeseburger salad than I did with this. But I had leftover rice, and it was really delicious. And so I want to recommend it to everyone else.
I would look at this recipe. I'm curious now, but if I saw this recipe come across my feed, I'd be like, no, thank you.
Okay, why? Is it the mustard?
No, it's just the whole idea of it does not appeal to me. But now that you're saying it's good, I'm totally open.
So you
start... It does not have curbside appeal to me.
Great. That's great.
I just don't know why. Like, I'm like, wow, that's so fascinating.
I think I saw it on Instagram. I think I had all the ingredients and just went for it. Like, it wasn't something I meal planned.
Thought about. Yeah, totally.
Yes. It was actually like I grabbed ground beef and was like, I'll figure something out later.
Totally.
And then had the leftovers. So you start by sauteing some bacon. So you have bacon fat to cook in. And then you cook onions and you add the mustard to the onions. You pull that out of the pan so that you can cook the ground beef, cook some eggs. And then you put everything together, this like the cooked bacon, the beef, the cooked onions with the sort of, it kind of makes like a mustard sauce, even the eggs. And then you top it with all of the cheeseburger things like chopped tomato, iceberg lettuce. There's cheddar cheese. You add pickles, which Ella loves pickles. I thought it was great. Again, with the caveat that I did not use the full amount of mustard. I like mustard, but it just was like a lot that the recipe called for. And it was a great way to use up a pound of ground beef and like have a little variety, use up the rice. It hit all the cheeseburger flavors. So Stacey's saying no.
I'm not saying no. I'm curious. I mean, I'm curious. I also know that I'll never put it on my list.
Yeah.
But is it one of those things where I'm like, you know, when you do the play, like there's some plays on dishes and you're like, that's so fun and ingenious, or like a different way to get at the flavors I love.
Yes.
Awesome. And other times you're like, I'm going to make that and I just want to eat the cheeseburger.
Yes. I think they're
like cheeseburger salad feels different to me. Cheeseburger salad, I'm like, yes.
I think it's the salad versus rice part of it,
yeah,
too. That's
something
challenging
about the
for
rice.
You. Like, a salad's very crispy forward, whereas fried rice, especially because it's not like truly fried rice where the rice is getting like crispy, it's more like carb forward, which you don't always love anyways.
Yeah, and rice is not my favorite carb.
So there you go.
All
it
right.
is also
you
not
like it,
Ella's
though.
Favorite
car. No, I'm with Ella. Okay, but you liked it.
Yes.
Was Brian home?
He was home and he did like it. That's the kind of thing. Like, he could eat right for fried rice 4 nights a week.
With okay.
anything thrown in it. We use it often as a vehicle for leftovers.
Okay. And what did Emmett?
Emmett was kind of mid on it. He was okay. not the, like, trying to put lettuce and tomatoes on the fried rice to him was just
yeah.
weird. Like, why? But I liked that fresh, crunchy aspect of it. And it's a good reminder to top things, even if it's like the one pot pasta you mentioned, with something that adds like another dimension of either lots of flavor or texture. So,
all right,
there we go. I had leftover rice because I also made red beans and rice.
Yum.
And we're going to link to the Alton Brown recipe. I always have a little bit of like mixed feelings linking to Alton because I worked for him for so long. I actually helped develop this recipe and I love it, but I don't love him. Sorry. I think I just said that on air, and Sam, we're going to keep it. But it's just a very solid like red beans and rice recipe. It's sort of aligned with your chicken parmesan where it's something that's better to make on the weekend because you have to pickle pork. Although we did not do the pickled pork. I just did kielbasa this time. But if you were to make it per the directions, it turns out really well. And then you have this big, beautiful pot of beans that you could serve over rice. You could certainly serve it over something like grits or make cornbread to go with it. So it's kind of its own thing. But Brian is like, you know, true Southern boy. He wants rice if there's red beans involved. So that's what we served it with. And then I did end up steaming some green beans on the side. And the four of us all like this red beans and rice. Ella does not eat any rice. I put like sort of a perfunctory little scoop of rice on her plate and then it goes uneaten. But she does like the red beans.
Wow, you really challenged her this week. Rice twice.
They were days apart.
I think that sounds delicious.
Does that count?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Green beans, did you steam them in the microwave or on the stovetop?
Literally just like trimmed them, put them in the microwave in an any day dish, 4 minutes, and then toss them with a little bit of butter and salt.
And is that your go-to? My go-to for steamed string beans is olive oil, lemon juice, and salt.
It's not. I don't know. I think I kind of mix it up. We eat green beans a lot. If I have like capacity, I will do them on the stovetop with olive oil and like thinly sliced garlic. So then you get crunchy garlic to put back on top. Yeah, I think I do it a variety. Sometimes it's good with like olive oil and then finish with like some fresh mint. We recently did with tomato, like I had a bunch of cherry tomatoes and I did green beans, kind of like stewed the tomatoes. Anywho, last thing is kind of a little tease to the ebook. I was testing our Mississippi pot roast again that will be in this ebook that we now Stacey and I have both mentioned. And so I had leftover of the Mississippi pot roast. And so I riffed on an Italian beef sandwich. So we did sub rolls with the beef, and then I cooked peppers and onions with a little bit of hot pepper vinegar added to it, and then like toasted the whole sandwich with provolone on it. And the kids just had like chopped veggies with theirs, and Brian and I both had mixed greens with Caesar dressing, that Newman's Own Caesar that I'm trying to
That you
to
don't like.
I don't love it.
Okay.
I wouldn't buy it again, but I feel like I have to use it up. And I did have a thought while we were talking about your Caesar dressing where I was like, oh, I think I've recently seen like a Caesar chicken recipe where you like use a whole bottle of Caesar dressing on chicken breast. And I might give that a go.
Yeah, just to knock it out and get it.
Yes, because I'm ready for something else.
Yeah, or the other thing is, do you think it's the kind of dressing where you could empty it into a jar and then zhuzh it? Like a little Dijon, maybe a little fresh garlic, shake it up and then make it a little bit more to your liking?
Totally. But a lot of times if I'm reaching for the Caesar, it's kind of like what you said. I make vinaigrettes all the time. So if I have a specific flavor profile in mind or if I'm making a specific salad, I'll make a dressing specifically for that.
Yeah.
I keep ranch on hand mostly for Ella. And then because we're testing Caesars, I have that in there to use up. And so if I have little opportunities to use it, I will. But I don't reach for it as a matter of course. And so then I'm like, why do I want to put any effort into zhuzhing it up?
Yeah,
like, like you said, I'd rather just make a quick Caesar from scratch. Yeah,
totally.
So Italian beef sandwiches were 4 for 4. Like Brian had seconds.
Delish.
So good. Highly recommend.
Maybe I will test that this week because that sounds so good.
And with the leftover Mississippi pot roast, the recipe we'll link to has a recipe for the Italian beef. But with the leftovers, I was able to throw it together in like 30 minutes on a night where I had gone to the grocery store and we had a bunch of other stuff going on. And I think that's part of why the kids just had chopped veggies and we did like a quick salad, as I didn't really think about the veggie side. And so that was a nice way to round it out.
Sounds like a good week. I'm like really excited about this list of recipes that we're sharing. I feel like this is like a kind of a killer meal plan for somebody.
Yeah, right?
Right? I think so. Well, you guys know where to go for that. You have to join our listeners boards. They are free. All you have to do is go to didn'tijustfeedyou.com/community, sign up with your email, which we never share with anybody, and grab those recipes. There are several listeners boards, and there's one called What We're Cooking and Eating Now, and the document with the links, not just from this episode, but all the previous ones, is pinned right to the top.
Yeah. Hey, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram, where we are at Didn't I Just Feed You. A huge thank you to our producer, Samantha Gatzik. I'm Megan.
And I'm Stacy. Stay sane and well-fed.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.